Support for the Morning Show comes from the Carthage College Office of Continuing Studies, providing graduate and accelerated certification programs in education to start or advance a career in teaching. Convenient evening and summer courses are designed for the working adult. More information available at carthage.edu/grad. Support for the Morning Show also comes from Andrea's, a Kenosha tradition since 1911. A unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. And don't forget about Jack's Cafe, Andrea's, 2401 60th Street, online at andreasgifts.com. And we welcome you to the Tuesday Morning Show on WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva, your gateway to public radio. I'm Gregory Berg, and it's terrific, first of all, to welcome back to our studios, as we do once a month, Nan Calvert from the Seno Conservancy, who helps to oversee and organize a morning show every month that deals with some kind of topic related to the environment around us and the need for us to be more sensitive about that. And on today's particular program, Nan is here along with three other special guests to talk about two different really important events coming up in the near future. So, Nan, just say a quick word about all that we're going to be exploring today.
Sure. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for having us once again. It's kind of a crowd here today at the station. So there are two really important and fun and exciting things happening. The first one is on March 18th at the Golden Rondell, and it's called Green and Healthy, the Future of Our Cities. And I'll let Jane and Janet and David talk in depth about that. And that will be followed on the following day, on March 19th, by EcoFest. And they're going to talk about that as well.
And it's going to be an exciting time. And one of the involved organizations here, besides Gateway Technical College, where Jane Herring is director of marketing, is an organization called Greening Greater Racine. And we have two people who've been extensively involved in that, David Rhodes and then Sister Janet Weicker. And so that might be a good place for us to begin talking about this organization called Greening Greater Racine. What a great name, first of all, and what an important mission. So have at it. Tell us about this organization and what it's all about.
Yeah, thanks. This is Dave Rhodes, and glad to be here, Greg.
Good
thank
to have you back.
And Nan. Greening Greater Racine started about a year and a half ago with the Racine Green Congregations and then expanded to encompass an incredible number of great environmental groups. And then we began working with city agencies as well as the business community. We're launching a sustainable business network and also working in the schools. And part of the purpose leading up to EcoFest is that we see all these tremendous things happening in the city, and we thought what an opportunity we would look for to be able to kind of display what all is happening here. Mm-hmm. And Racine is really quite a sustainable city from the top down to the bottom, and the greater Racine area with the villages are also active in working on this. We've learned a lot about that. So we're very eager to promote it, and we have displays from faith groups, environmental groups, from the schools, from government agencies, from businesses, and we're trying to see in what way we can serve the larger public by making these things available to them and also promoting them.
Very good. Nan, this sounds so familiar because on so many occasions in the programs you've helped host, we've talked about different groups coming together mm-hmm. who were very much on the same page, but maybe never even realized they mm-hmm. were on the same page doing a lot of the same work together. And drawing groups together and people together is just one of the most exciting things about this kind of work.
Right. It's really how you create a viable movement because you have to bring diverse partners together. Everybody has something to contribute, whether it's a nonprofit organization or it's a business or whatever. If it's a volunteer organization, when you're all at the table, you build something very strong and robust.
Right, and bring your various perspectives mm-hmm. and areas of strength and mm-hmm. so on. Jane Herring, you're the director of marketing here at Gateway. Maybe you can just say a word about Gateway's commitment to green practices and to staking a claim for the importance of that in our community.
Certainly, and much like Greening Greater Racine, we really look at all aspects of environmental stewardship. A couple of years ago, we signed the President's Climate Commitment, in which we dedicated ourselves to making changes to our operational practices at Gateway, meaning the lighting, the heating, trying to bring more environmentally friendly generators of electricity onto all of our campuses. Same thing with heating hot water. So really throughout, we have about 8 facilities throughout the 3-county area, and each one of them has some sort of operational improvement that helps reduce our carbon footprint. And relating to that, of course, the main mission of Gateway Technical College is to train people for careers. So nearly all of our programming, our curriculum, has some sort of aspect of environmental or sustainability built into it. Some of the more obvious ones are like HVAC. So people are learning more about the controls and how that is designed in order to reduce your use of electricity or natural gas or whatever. But then there are some that are, I guess, less obvious, and that would be learning about marketing. Well, I know within each of those marketing programs, almost every year there's a student who takes on some sort of environmental promotion aspect when they're learning and doing a project for a competition. So we look at that really across the board, and I think we've been fairly successful. What excited us is that we're also about bringing people onto our campuses to learn something about what Gateway's doing. But we've had a little bit, we've done our Celebrate Earth Day on the Kenosha and the Elkhorn campuses. But in Racine, it seemed like we were just looking, waiting until Greening Greater Racine was connected with Gateway, and it's just been the perfect partnership.
Super. So we'll talk in just a moment about this big, wonderful event coming up called EcoFest. Sister Janet Weicker, you, of course, in most people's minds are so closely associated with the Eco-Justice Center of Racine. Tell our listeners a little bit about that and how that folds so beautifully into a lot of what we've already been talking about here.
All right. The Eco Justice Center is all about sustainability and trying to model simple living so that we can make our environment a better place. We do a lot of environmental education with children and adults. And we've been a part of the Green Congregation group for at least 11 years. That's how long the Eco Justice Center has been in existence. And then, as a part of the Green Congregations, we also became a part of Greening Greater Racine and helped develop the programs that we have, because we believe that everything we do in life, every decision we make, whether it deals with our food, our travel, our lifestyle, all has an effect on the environment. So we try to teach about that and make people more conscious of how they are living. Hmm. And we call our center a center for community, contemplation, creativity, and cultivation, which gives people a chance to step back and think about what their life is about and how their decisions affect our world.
Explain to a listener who's never been to the Eco Justice Center what they see if they walk onto the grounds.
Well, you see a beautiful little farm with buildings and lots of animals and a lot of people with energy. We have 15 acres, and we have outbuildings that date from the 1800s, mm-hmm. and we have a large house where a community of 6 of us live. And four of us work right on the land and working with the children and the adults who come. In addition to caring for animals, and do we have animals? We have alpacas and goats and geese and ducks and chickens and guinea hens, several cats, dogs. And, of course, we have mice because we have animal food around. But in addition to the animals, we also, and we do have bees. We have an apiary with several beehives, and we have a honey house. And we also do organic gardening. And a really cool thing that's coming up this year is we're beginning a Farm Corps program where we're teaching high school students under the tutelage of a college intern and another volunteer how to do organic gardening, how to cook with the food that they produce, and they will be harvesting that and marketing it as well. So it's a place of a lot of activity and a great deal of peace and beauty. And we also serve as a site for many volunteers, especially, you know, maybe young people have gotten themselves into a little bit of trouble and they have to do community service. And by and large, we've had a very positive experience working with these young people on a one-to-one basis.
Excellent. Nan, I think we should also, before we get into these two events, talk about the organization which you primarily represent these days, namely the Seno Conservancy.
Yes. So the Seno KRLT Conservancy actually was born in June of 2014. Prior to that, it was two separate organizations. It was the Seno Woodland Management Center and the Kenosha Racine Land Trust, and I was with the Land Trust at the time. We decided to merge the organizations into one because we could concentrate our resources and become a stronger organization and really begin to focus quite a bit on education as well. And so I became the Director of Education and Outreach for Seno KRLT Conservancy. Seno has a really wonderful history, and I'll just go over it briefly. Very long time ago, there was a physician by the name of Elvira Seno, and she became a physician at a time when women normally didn't become physicians. She was way ahead of her time, and she purchased the property that is Seno. It's 131 acres, and realized that she had something quite remarkable. And because she had such great foresight, she put her land into trust so that it would be preserved in perpetuity. She did this at a time when nobody was doing it, but she figured out how to do it. And so she left this amazing legacy for us, and that's where the name Seno comes from. Remarkably, at the very same time, just a handful of miles away, another physician by the name of Shirley Peterson, Dr. Seno's contemporary, was doing the same thing with her property. They were literally just a few miles away, and they never met each other. Their paths never crossed. And Dr. Peterson's property was known as Drumlin Farm, and that is actually part of Seno Conservancy. So what we do is forestry. We're actually a working tree farm where we grow and harvest trees in a sustainable way. We will be planting a number of acres after we had to, unfortunately, take down all of our ash trees due to emerald ash borer. So if anybody wants to come out and help us plant trees, the holes will already be prepared. You don't even have to break a sweat. All you have to do is put the trees in the ground, cover them up, wish them well, give them a little water, and we're on our way. And Dr. Peterson's property, Drumlin Farm, is also a working tree farm. But we're also about land preservation in perpetuity. So we are a land trust, and we do a fair amount of natural resources education and conservation as well. And so a long time ago, the Land Trust was the one who came to this show. And when I began working for the Land Trust, they said, here, you do this. And so I said, okay. So that's how I came to this lovely opportunity known as the morning show.
Absolutely. Well, we're great. Glad to have you here and glad that we can take this kind of time. And now it's time to turn our attention to these two really special events that are coming up this weekend. Let's begin with the earlier of the two. So this is the thing that's coming up on the evening of the 18th of March called Green and Healthy, the Future of Our Cities. Now, is this also sponsored by Greening Greater Racine?
Yes.
And Gateway and the Eco Justice Center. Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about the specific focus of this event.
Well, we have four groups that are initiatives in greening Greater Racine, one dealing with food, one dealing with native plants and green spaces in the city, another dealing with energy, and another dealing with water. And this one focuses on native plants, green spaces in the city. It's now become an important part of urban planning to include nature as part of the planning of the city, the nature around us. So you think of the city as kind of an earth community where we all share this space together. And how can we share this space together with birds and bees and butterflies and small mammals and lots of plants and trees? It makes people healthier. All kinds of studies have shown that if people have an opportunity to be present in nature, it just lowers their blood pressure and increases their health. The air is cleaner, just a whole lot of things. And so we decided that we would try to make this Friday night thing a program that would focus on that area. And I have a friend, Jim Schwab, who will be the featured speaker, who works for the American Planning Association in Chicago and consults with cities around just precisely on these things. So he's going to come up and give like 20, 25 minutes of slides and a presentation on the importance of having green space and health in a city in that way. And then we're going to have Nan talk about, we're going to have people, four people talk about what's happening here in Racine. Nan will talk about the nature centers we have. Matt Kepnick, the urban forester in Racine, will talk about urban forestry and the parks. And Julie Kinzelman, who works so much with the coastal waters, will talk about the North Beach and what they're doing with Sam Myers Park, the ecosystems they're setting up there. And then Bill Tompkins, Reverend Bill Tompkins, will talk about the beautification programs along with the gardening programs that are going on. So we're really celebrating green in the city, but also what's happening in Racine.
Very good. So it's mostly to celebrate what's already happened, but is there a significant component that's also about what can we do better or what needs to happen more?
Well, I think this speaker will show a variety of examples of what's happening around the United States, particularly in Chicago, about the cultivation of green spaces and what things are possible. And we're hoping that the EcoFest presents some of that as well. And we're also hoping that both programs will kind of generate a lot of people with a desire to expand and increase and develop all the kinds of things that can be done in a city to make it city and the greater Racine area to make it a more healthy and
So we really would like to encourage people to attend that Friday evening program. The doors open at 6:30 and the program starts at 7. And we hope that the program will inspire people to get involved in greening Greater Racine, as well as attending the EcoFest the following day.
Very good.
It is necessary to register for that event?
We don't have a full house yet, so they encourage registration, but I'm sure walk-ins are going to be welcome.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay,
Friday
good.
Night, March 18th.
So, Nan, tell us a little more about what you're going to be presenting as part of that Friday night.
They've given me approximately 8 minutes to talk in depth about all of the various and sundry environmental education programs that we have in the Greater Racine area.
So you're going to be talking fast.
Talk. So I'm going to speed talk and do a speed PowerPoint presentation. It's utterly impossible to include everything. We have really a cornucopia of opportunities in Kenosha and Racine and Walworth County. I just picked a few to highlight that have really unique things going on under the umbrella of their environmental education program. So it'll be cool. It'll be fast, but it'll be cool.
I wanted to ask you, Nan, David Rhodes, as he was kind of describing all of this, referred several times to green spaces. Mm-hmm. And that comes up so many times in the conversations that we have on this program. But I think probably some people maybe misunderstand what that term really means, that probably some people jump to the conclusion that green space is just mostly empty space where there aren't buildings.
Right.
And of course, I know that you think about that term, and most people do actually in a little more comprehensive fashion than that.
It means different things to different people, particularly when you're thinking about an urban environment. A lot of people think it means some turf and maybe a tree and a couple of benches. But we have to, and you know, I'm not saying that to be facetious or sarcastic, but we have to go beyond that sort of an idea of what is a green space. You can't think necessarily only in terms of something without permanent structures. You have to think in terms of function as well. So hopefully, as we design green spaces in our cities and other areas as well, it's not just a reduction of pavement and structures, but it is an addition of native plants and sometimes food crops or a combination thereof to make this a biotic community of sorts, so that you're holding space for birds and butterflies, and you're also holding space for humans to come in and take a break, take a breather, and remember once again that you're part of this, that you don't live outside of it just because you live in a city. Hmm. And also, these green spaces provide just a fantastic opportunity for cultivating different kinds of food, because we know that in urban spaces, there are often food deserts, and we don't have access to fresh produce. So, you know, you can plant fruit trees and nut trees and have beautiful organic gardens and all kinds of things. So it's much more than just a bench and some grass and a tree. Mm-hmm. It's much more than that.
And so, David, you're saying that Racine has experienced some fairly significant success already in terms of this kind of green space that Nan was just describing.
Well, I think, first of all, we have a robust urban forestry program. And there's a desire to complete all of the spaces, you know, the parkway between the street and the sidewalk, to fill 90% of those spaces with trees. And that in itself has a tremendous impact on the greenness in the city, on the curtailing of runoff, on the protection from wind, in addition to saving energy. And also it's shown to encourage neighborhood interactions and reduce crime. That's just one example of greening that's sort of spread everywhere. They do native planting mostly in the parks. And we have 90-some parks in the city. And there's a commitment now on the part of the mayor to begin a process called Parks to Produce, where you take a park that's underused and transform it into a place where there's an orchard, where there's native plants and maybe some prairie, in addition to garden plots that local residents, often in this case in food deserts where they don't have a chance to get fresh food like this, plots for local residents. So while there is a lot of green areas and parks, I think we're in the process of beginning to make the best use of those. Just one more example. Sturtevant has a really interesting approach to detention ponds. Instead of having every industry there have their own detention pond, they've created 5 of them to serve all of these. And every one of those is surrounded by native plants, a walkway for people to bike and walk, some benches, but also trees, and fishing even in the retention ponds. And they've created kind of a natural area that not only nurtures nature around there, but also makes it a wonderful place for people to be able to enjoy the presence of the nature around them.
Hmm. If people want to see that for themselves, where do they go? Where is that found?
Well, that's found in Industrial Park in Sturtevant.
So just south of Highway 20? Am I remembering that correctly?
I think that would be right, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they won an award for one of the retention ponds that they created.
Very good.
In this way.
Sister Janet, the Eco Justice Center, of course, is an example of accomplishing so much in terms of what David and Nan have just been describing. To what extent has Eco Justice Center also tried to sort of expand its influence and in a sense, make this happen in other places besides that idyllic little place called the Eco Justice Center? I mean, what kind of advocacy work have you tried to do over the years in this particular field?
Well, we've been invited to be a part of various groups or give presentations about, oh, what can other people do on their land and their property? So we try to lead by example and invite people to come to see what we have done and what they might be able to imitate. Things like rain gardens and medicine wheel garden, which is like a bioethnic garden made of native plants. We've taken slideshows to various churches and schools and civic organizations. And joining with Greater, Greater Racine and Gateway now presenting this program on EcoFest.
Excellent.
And could I just add, we also have the Racine Urban Garden Network, which has set up any number of gardens throughout the city. And the Nehemiah Project, which is very committed to beautification in some parks, West Park and Racine, as well as some other areas. So, and then the program Discover Racine has done a lot to green Racine. So a lot of organizations in addition to the cities and the parks.
Very good. Jane, I know that Gateway has had some really interesting work in this field, including urban farming and this and that. What do you want to tell us about?
Our horticulture program located on the Kenosha campus, they have been expanding into urban farming, and they define it, again, because we're really career-driven, as a way for our graduates from that program could then operate their own very highly dense farm plots within a small acreage, or actually less than acreage, more like a backyard, and then not only be able to feed their family or surrounding families, but they could sell that produce at farmers markets so that other people have that access. Or you hear about CSAs now that they could perhaps go and start their own or work within it. They learn marketing. They learn the best care for vegetable plants. They do learn a certain amount of tree care. And on our Kenosha campus, we have an arboretum that is fairly new, and we're continuing to build trees. We have the Center for Sustainable Living, which is a home that has been retrofitted with more, we have geothermal heat, we have photovoltaic lighting, we have some other solar. On the way up there is a solar tracker. It's this big panel that follows the sun if we have sun, and helps generate a certain amount of electricity that then is added to the power that Gateway uses, including we have another area that has water. The water is heated in one of our buildings purely with solar. So the students are learning this, urban farming, yes. HVAC students are learning about the water heating aspect of it. I love the urban farming. They have now started doing a farm stand. They did it about halfway through the summer. On Thursdays, they're trying to counter-program against Kenosha's Harbor Market and a lot of the city farmers markets. So they have their market, all organic produce that is grown on site, and they'll do that. They'll do cooking demonstrations. They'll also do demonstrations about the farming aspect itself. I think it's great fun. I can't wait till I have more time when I retire so I can go there all the time and learn it, because you can take individual classes there and learn some of the farming techniques and better care of soil. I know Kate Jerome, as you well know from interviewing her, she is very much into building soil over a number of years, and I'd love to learn about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm hoping I can learn some of that at EcoFest, because it's just amazing. We have well over 50 informational booths, kind of an Ask the Expert. And I was going through the list, and I know Janet is going to talk about that a little bit more. But there's just a phenomenal number of experts from the Racine area and just generally in southeast Wisconsin who are going to be there to share their knowledge. And
So for those of you just joining us on the morning show, we're talking about, we've talked first of all about an event that's coming up on Friday evening, the 18th of March, Green and Healthy, the Future of Cities, in which someone involved in urban planning is going to be there along with a panel of other experts celebrating to a large extent some of the wonderful things happening in the city of Racine in terms of making Racine a greener place in the richest sense of the word. And now we want to turn our attention to what's happening on Saturday, the 19th of March, namely EcoFest Racine, which is co-sponsored by Gateway Technical College and Greening Greater Racine. It's going to be a big event happening on the Racine campus of Gateway Technical College. So first of all, so Sister Janet and David Rhodes, you've been involved on the steering committee of this, and I suspect it's no small feat to sort of draw all of these different organizations together in one day for kind of a big spectacular event like this.
Right. We really wanted to celebrate the environmental and sustainable aspects of our city already. And so we tried to think, what could we do to bring in lots of people, families, individuals, and groups to learn more about what we're doing. So we have a program for children. There will be from 9 o'clock to 1 o'clock children's activities going on. We'll also have 4 demonstrations about cooking. We'll learn how to make salad dressing and juices, and then a program with Heidi Fannin with Kids in the Kitchen, and also talking about what's an energy-efficient kitchen. And then the other programs we have, our main speaker is a woman who's going to talk about butterfly gardens, how to create nature corridors in your city, as well as about 10 other programs or 12 other short programs that deal with gardening and solar power, buying solar panels for your home, green garden care, lowering your energy costs. One of the real interesting programs, the presenter is going to share information on how he reduced his energy bill by 2/3 in 1 year.
Wow.
So, for example, he had a $100 bill a month. Now he has a $30 bill a month. Hmm. And he'll share with the group who comes to his talk just what he's done.
Neat.
We've also have programs on a clean power plan, the process of making maple syrup. So lots of presentations, and then in addition to that, there are going to be some outside activities. Matt Kepnick, our city forester, is going to be demonstrating pruning. It's a little bit late for pruning this year, but he'll give you some basics on that. There will be a display of eco-friendly cars all day.
And I have to jump in there,
yes,
because I just can't believe that Adele has done such a phenomenal job. There's a Tesla that's going to be coming, and I think there are enough people who are into cars that green or purple, they're going to want to see that Tesla.
which you should explain to our listeners is an electric car, right?
Yes. And not cheap. Pretty cool.
So several dealerships are bringing out their cars, and several committee members will have their green cars also on display all day. Okay, and then another outdoor piece will be Julie Kinzelman will be leading tours to Sam Myers Park to show how that is being set up with various ecosystems.
Julie has been working on this park, which is right near Gateway. It's just down southwest of Gateway. And the park will be an educational experience in which people who come there can see 4 different ecosystems: wetlands, dunes, prairie, and upland. And they've populated them all with plants and so forth, and it's a bird corridor, and it's just going to be a wonderful place for people to go. It's not open yet. It's not finished yet, but people are going to be able to go and see the work in progress.
And we'll have a shuttle bus that'll take them from the parking lot at Gateway on the lakeside and drive them over to the park, and I think Julie's riding along, and we'll give some narration as to what's happening over there.
Excellent.
Another feature, people will be able to bring some electronic things for recycling, as well as batteries and light bulbs. We'll have that collection.
Yeah, so your computers, your cell phones, you know, anything electronic monitors. If it's a tube monitor, like an old TV, that you have to pay $20 to have them recycle, but otherwise just about everything else. And let me just mention too a couple of times that if you go to gtc.edu/ecofest, ECOFEST, you'll be able to get a lot of what we're talking about here in case you're not taking notes too fast. So I know there's just so much going on. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And if you get hungry while you're there, you can have fair trade coffee, and great muffins and fresh fruit are going to be on sale.
Ah.
Yes.
Very good. I suspect that part of this is going to certainly appeal to people who are already aware of some of this and care about some of this, but I imagine that part of your hope is that this is going to be something that will be of interest to people who really haven't maybe engaged in very much of this. I mean, that this is also going to be an outreach and not an exercise in, as they say, preaching to the choir.
And I'm going to jump in there because I think I'm one of the people who is not necessarily living every single day in an environmental organization, even though that we do care for it a great deal here at Gateway. But to me, this is an event is for the general public. I think almost everybody believes in the importance of improving the environment and leaving less of a negative impact in our communities. But how do we do it? How do we do it easily? Because frankly, I'm not going to install a solar panel on my roof. But maybe I can. Maybe I can do something really small that's going to have a great impact. And I think that's what this event is about, because there every single one of these booths, if you picked up five great tips along the way, just think what an impact you'd make. Mm-hmm. So I really think the event is much more, yes, the choir will want to come, but I really think general public, I always talk about, will sneak up on them and teach people things without them realizing it. And I think the kids' activities are going to be along that line, that people will be able to have a great time in the kids' area, but they're going to learn so much, mm-hmm. too.
One of the handouts that we're going to make available is called Earthkeeper Commitment, and it's a page that names all areas of our life, like travel and food and energy use, et cetera, and people can tick off on that list, these are things that I'm doing already, and then, oh, here's an idea, I bet I could try that one too. So they can fill out this commitment form and then post it at their home and maybe look at it every month or two and say, are we making progress toward becoming more sustainable?
Great idea.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Like composting is a very simple thing people can do.
Right. And I suppose it's the kind of thing where as people live their lives, they don't necessarily stop to consider the cost of certain practices that they've done without giving it a thought. And this is about having people stop and look at the way that they live their lives and so on.
Can I just add that we're really eager for this to be available to the whole community. We've translated our promotional materials into Spanish and shared them, and we will have a person on site who serves as a translator. So if there are people who come, they can ring up a cell phone, and the person will be floating and be present as needed to translate for people who have difficulty conversing in some of these new areas in English.
Fantastic. Where exactly is this going to occur at Gateway?
It is going to be in our Lake Building, and that is the southernmost building on the Racine campus. So if you are coming off of Main Street, it's best to go down 11th Street and park in the large parking lot that is really facing the lake. But you can enter the Lake Building from the west side off of, it's kind of closer to the intersection of Main and Lake. What is that, 12? You kind of know where Main kind of oozes in, and then you get to Lake Street. So you can come in that way as well.
Mm-hmm. And so most of this is indoors?
Yes, the vast majority, except for the cars and the pruning is on the west side of our buildings, and then the recycling, Sam Myers, but also the recycling of the electronics will be kind of bunched right up against the technical building. And for those who are familiar with the campus and they're thinking, yeah, that's the building with the really big staircase, it is. And for those who are happy to clump up all those stairs, great. We also have kind of a ramp area you can walk up, also rather steep. But right adjacent to the stairs is the entrance to our technical building, and we'll have signs directing people to the elevator and get them over to EcoFest. So that'll be just as easy.
Very good. Well, Mother Nature, inappropriately, is not cooperating wonderfully according to the extended forecast, but it looks like it's going to be comfortable temperatures anyway. There may be a little bit of rain or a little bit of snow, but you're going to be for the most part, safely indoors, right?
And well, that's right. It's a perfect place to be. You can pretend you're outdoors with all of this great information, but be indoors and warm and dry.
Absolutely. Well, it sounds like an absolutely terrific celebration in which people can see what's going on and maybe think about their own lives. Anything you want to add about EcoFest 2016 that we haven't yet touched on?
You'll just feel bad if you miss it.
No kidding.
Well said.
Oh,
and if you do, we hope
giveaways, like lots of wildflowers and herbs and zinnias and cosmos. So if you like to garden and need a pack of seeds, they can get them there.
Okay. And every family will get a reusable grocery bag as they enter in, so they can also put all the information that they gather and their free seeds into that bag. And I do want to remind people, too, to look at gtc.edu/EcoFest. Truly, I've got 7, 8, 9 pages worth of stuff that is on that site. So you'll find out which groups are going to be there and what time all of the speakers are going to be presenting.
Very good. David, did you have a last thought?
Everybody's really said it, and the main thing is I think there's a lot of enthusiasm about the event. Enthusiasm because we can do better together, as we said before, what we won't do very effectively separately. And this is an effort to bring together large numbers of people, and I think the energy just kind of multiplies. And it's not been difficult to get people to participate. You just kind of let them know and open the gates, and people have come in and are ready to go. So I hope people who come catch the spirit.
Very good. So EcoFest 2016 on the Racine campus of Gateway on Saturday the 19th from 9 to 1. And we want to remind people about the night before, March 18th, at the Golden Rondell Theater, called Green and Healthy, The Future of Our Cities, a presentation by a number of different people, including our own Nan Calvert, on ways in which we can make all of our cities greener places in every sense of the word. Nan, before we're out of time, I know you want to tell us about a few events that are coming up outside from what we've talked about today.
I do. There are so many wonderful events, as usual. So we're going to start with Hoy Audubon. March 26th at 9 a.m., there will be a waterfowl field trip to Eagle Lake, and you will meet everybody there at Eagle Lake Park and wander around Eagle Lake and see all the wonderful things that are returning, like herons and cranes and wood ducks and all kinds of cool stuff. So March 26th, 9 a.m. Racine Dominican Eco Justice Center is having a spring equinox celebration on March 20th at 6:30 until 8 p.m. You will be invited to plant pea seeds for the Eco Justice Center and create a seed starter pot. Bring a seasonal appetizer to share. Weather permitting, the evening will conclude with an optional night hike in a drum circle, so feel free to bring your own drum. There's no charge for the event, but donations are always appreciated and put to good use. You don't have to register. On March 19th, a big day in our fair town, Hawthorne Hollow is having maple sugaring, both the adult and family class, from 10 a.m. until noon. Tapping the sugar brush during the month of March is kind of what we all do around here. Visitors will take a journey back in time and discover the magic of maple sugaring. Register early as space is limited. And finally, well, not really finally, but that's all we have time for, Pringle Nature Center will be doing a little bit of a different thing for Easter. It's called Egg Drop Roll and Die, March 26th from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. So they're selling celebrating Easter a little bit differently. You're going to see if you can make a parachute to attach to your egg so that it can return to Earth without breaking.
Ah.
You'll be using some natural dyes to color the eggs, and then you can roll them down a hill.
Sounds like fun.
Registration is required. Friends of Pringle Nature Center, the fee is $5. General public is $6.
That's it.
Except, you know, what's happening on the 18th and 19th of this
No
month.
Kidding. With Green and Healthy, the Future of Our Cities and EcoFest 2016. We want to thank everybody who was part of today's conversation. David Rhodes, Jane Herring, Sister Janet Weicker, and, of course, Nan Calvert. Nan, it'll be good to see you next month,
yes.
As always. And thank you again, everybody, for being part of today's morning show and for all of your hard work on these two very, very important events coming up this weekend. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Support for the morning show comes from Andrea's, a Kenosha tradition since 1911, a unique shopping experience time and time again. That's what brings you back. And don't forget about Jack's Cafe. Andrea's, 2401 60th Street, online at andreasgifts.com. Support also comes from the Carthage College Office of Continuing Studies, providing graduate and accelerated certification programs in education to start or advance a career in teaching. Convenient evening and summer courses are designed for the working adult. More information available at carthage.edu/grad. Tomorrow on the morning show, one of the country's most highly regarded jazz pianists, Kenny Werner, who's going to be performing with his trio Thursday night at the University of Wisconsin Parkside. And on Thursday's morning show, we'll be talking with one of the country's leading opera composers, Jake Hagee, about his opera Three Decembers, which is currently being done at the Milwaukee Florentine. And on Friday, Gateway Technical College president Brian Albrecht. You can find more information about The Morning Show and The Morning Show Archive on our website, WGTD.org. Click on Talk. High wind watch is in effect for much of the day today. It's going to be otherwise a cloudy day with rain and thunderstorms likely this afternoon. Maybe some damaging winds and hail. A high today of 49 degrees.